I'm just going to invite John and Annie to come forward now, and we're going to pray for them before they speak to us. Okay. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you send your Spirit now to fall afresh on John and Annie, and indeed, Lord, on us all. Fill our hearts with your word. May the words that they speak be your words. For you are our God and we are your people. Speak to us that we might have understanding, and grant us by your grace the courage to respond. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Well, it's lovely to be here. I do just apologize for my voice. I didn't bring the right one with me. but it is lovely to be here with you and to come into this church and to see it so beautifully equipped and just to sense the welcome and the warmth of God's people here and their heart to see him at work. And thank you so much for reading that so well. It's a wonderful story, and I was woken up in the night. I was wondering what to speak on, and I was woken up in the night, and this passage came to mind. And it's a story, really, of following the Spirit of God. Following the Spirit of God. And I've entitled this, Following God at work. Where is God working in this community? Where is God at work in this community? I had a wonderful vice principal at Oak Hill Theological College, and he became the Bishop of St. Albans. He was a wonderful Bible teacher, Old Testament Bible teacher. And I remember him speaking to a group of us when he was reminiscing about being a vicar, and he would walk around the parish praying, and he would ask, Lord, where are you working? These houses, the curtains are drawn, but where are you at work? Because I want to pray blessing on the people of this parish. And I thought that was a wonderful thing that he was actually saying. Where is God at work? And when we think of that in this community, how can God meet the people of this community that aren't part of the church, but actually I'm reminded of Jesus' words, them also I must bring. This church isn't going to be big enough. God wants to bring so many into his kingdom. And if we're going to see that, I want to ask a question. How is God going to meet the hunger that is out there in the community? Because there are many people in the community who are empty, whose relationships have been impaired, who are struggling with pain and have lost hope. Sometimes who are full of despair, they feel their lives are broken. And in a sense, they're crying out to God. They may not recognize that, but there's a void that they long to be filled. Even the hope that actually something could change. Now, how can God meet that hunger? Because it's there. It's behind the windows and the doors of the houses in this parish of Maharlin. How can God meet that hunger? ask you that question, how can God meet it? And I believe, actually, he wants to meet it through the church. He wants to meet it through you and me, that we become aware of what God can do. And I want to tell you this wonderful story of Peter and Cornelius, because this was a mind-blowing story. It broke all the rules, it broke all the conventions, but actually it was God bursting out of a mindset that was closed to bring about a healing that was centuries old between the Jews and the Gentiles. And how did he do it? He did it by the Holy Spirit speaking to different people. God connected two people. One was a Gentile, Cornelius, a Roman soldier, who was a God-fearer, and who prayed and gave alms. And the other was Peter, whose mindset was closed to the possibility that Cornelius could come into the kingdom. And sometimes church, and I say this to myself, sometimes our mindset is closed to the possibilities that God wants to bring about. And we'll see this in this wonderful story. Peter had to climb, in a sense, a mountain. He had to begin to see as God sees, not with the spectacles that he was brought up with in his religious tradition, but actually with the eyes of faith that God was wanting to bring about. And this is the early church's raison d'etre. They were learning to see as God sees. And I want to look then at Acts 10. And the story you most likely know quite well. But Peter had, firstly, Cornelius had a vision, and an angel spoke to him. And he was a man of faith, because he called him Lord. And the angel said to him, Cornelius, God has heard the prayers of your heart. God has seen your life. God has recognized the hunger that's inside you. And he wants to meet that. But the way he's going to meet it is that you send one of your servants to Joppa, a small town, to a street there that he named. And there you'll find a man called Peter. And you're to send and ask him to come and speak to you. So Cornelius responds to that prompting. And miracles happen when we respond to promptings that God gives. That's when God breaks through to bring new things into being. Now, there's one little obstacle that God has, and that's Peter. And Peter's mindset is so fixed with all the upbringing of his Jewish tradition that the Gentiles are beyond the pale. I mean, this was so deep in the Jewish story. And Peter he goes upstairs because he's in Joppa, and he goes upstairs on the roof to have a bit of quiet, and he can smell the food. And he's sort of dreaming. And God is in that dream. And in the dream, he sees a net being let down from heaven. And that's saying that God is saying something. And in the net are all kinds of animals, clean and unclean. And the voice from heaven says to Peter, Peter, rise, kill and eat. And it comes down three times. Now, when something happens three times, you really take note of it. Sometimes God may speak to us, or put something in our minds and in our hearts, And if it continues to stay there, listen to it, because I believe God may be speaking. And anywhere, Peter says this because he's been raised in this tradition. I will not eat anything unclean. And the voice of the Lord says, Peter, what God has cleansed, do not call common or unclean. What God has cleansed, do not call common or unclean. And this happens three times, and then there's a knock on the door, and these messengers arrive. Peter does not understand what God is saying. You know, sometimes a vision sometimes a vision will leave us confused, not really understanding. The only way he was going to understand it was to start to walk in the direction that it gave him. And these people had come from Cornelius, and he goes with them. You see, God has to throw a grenade into Peter's mind to explode an out-of-date mindset. And you know, sometimes, dear friends, God has to do that in the church. He has to do that in my life. That something in my mindset is not in line with what God is wanting to do. Do you remember Peter, on a previous occasion, Jesus had said to him, Peter, you do not have in mind the things of God. And so Peter goes with these visitors and goes with them to Cornelius' household. And he will only understand what God is after as he steps into the light that God's given him, as he acts upon what he's been given. And then the third part of this is the going. Three men are searching for you. Go down, and without hesitation, for I've sent them. And so Peter goes to this Cornelius' household. As I said, he doesn't understand what God is after, but that will come. And Cornelius welcomes him, and he says, the angel who'd come to him, and he says, I want you to speak to me about this Jesus. And Peter speaks to him, because this man has gathered all his family. There's a whole retinue of people that are there. And Peter starts to speak about Jesus and about the gospel and about why he's come. And they are listening intensely. Now, that's wonderful when you're speaking and people are listening intensely. But actually, something very disturbing starts to take place, because these people who are listening to this message start to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And they start to speak out in other tongues, praising God. Peter can't get a word in edgeways. He's never had a sermon interrupted in this kind of way before. But he recognizes, actually, God is blessing these people that I've regarded as unclean, outside the kingdom, beyond the pale. God is giving to them the same spirit that he gave to us at Pentecost. And so he sees, actually, they are people who are responding to God. God is breaking through to the Gentiles in a way that is historic. And actually, centuries of division are beginning to be healed by this. So this wonderful story happens. And the result of it is that he baptizes Cornelius' household. He baptizes them. They enter God's kingdom. They are part and parcel of what God is doing. Quite wonderful to see what was happening. And I mentioned that this division between the Jews and the Gentiles was ultimately broken by this story. And this is, for Peter, This is a moment for the church to go where it's never been before. You know, it's quite wonderful that God wanted the message of the gospel to go out into the community, into the nation. It wasn't just for the Jew, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And so God, in his wisdom, sent a persecution in Jerusalem so that the Jews were driven out, the Christians were driven out, and they took the gospel with them into that world of Judea. I was hearing a wonderful story. I work as a chaplain for an organization called Open Doors, which works with the persecuted church. And I was hearing a wonderful story. We were looking at a video series called Dangerous Faith. And you know, in the Cultural Revolution in China under Mao Zedong, that the Christians were persecuted, and they went underground. They couldn't remain openly Christians worshipping in church. They were persecuted. They went underground. And one of the wonderful Christian leaders, a chap called Watchman Nee, came to speak to a group of Christians, and there were some secret police there. And they said that they said to the Christians, if he speaks, we'll arrest him and put him in prison. And people tried to persuade Watchman Nee not to go forward to the platform to speak. And he went up to the platform. And for 5 minutes, he just stood in silence on that platform. And he looked troubled. And then he got a glass of water. And he picked it up and he smashed it to the ground. And he trod on the glass so that it couldn't be repaired. It was broken. And then he walked down to his seat. He hadn't said a word. But the message he gave was this, that the state was going to persecute the church. It was going to seek to smash it to bits, but it would actually go underground. And the state would lose control of the church because it would not know what was happening. And revival came to China through that. And in a sense, this is a story here of Peter, of revival breaking out into the nation and into the nations. So I think it's a wonderful story. I believe God is inviting us to be part of something we never imagined. I believe God is wanting to touch people's lives in the community in a way that we never imagined possible. I believe as you pray for the homes in your parish, that the Spirit of God would be moving in them and God would be bringing people. I remember in a church I was part of that they prayed. They asked God how to pray for this parish. And they felt God say, pray that people become really unhappy. That they become unhappy. And many people started to come to the church. And when they were asked why, they said, we feel so empty and unhappy. There must be more to life than what we're experiencing. So I want to leave this message with you. You see, there are opportunities for us, but we need to be able to take them and maybe to change our mindset that actually I believe this church is so welcoming. But actually, let's let our hearts out in the community be those that welcome.